Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Stutter Talk. This is Dhruv Gupta from Khandala, Maharashtra, which is a city in the western part of India, close to Mumbai. We're at the TISA, the Indian Stammering Association National Conference 2014, the fourth one TISA has ever had. And I'm sitting here with two Americans who are here, who have joined me from halfway around the world, and we're so lucky to have them here. I have Jacqueline
Revere
yeah. Here.
Hey guys.
who most of you guys know as a stutter girl, and she has a blog, she has a YouTube channel, she's doing a lot of stuff on stuttering. And Jacqueline has been traveling the world for the past two weeks.
I started off in Paris, met a few stutter words that there, then flew to Israel, which they were welcoming. It was the most beautiful experience I've ever had. And I went to a Toastmasters, and it was fantastic. And then I came here, and now I'm at TISA.
Well, we are so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
And we have Ruben as well. And you guys have heard a few of stutter talk episodes before. And Ruben made a split decision at the Friends Conference when I met him there in July, and he decided to come. And I'm so glad that he made this trip.
It's great to be here, Ruv. I can still remember back in July when we so happened to be roommates in Chicago at the Friends Conference. I'd gotten to know you just a little bit two weeks before in Washington, D.C. at NSA when you were kind of on a sales pitch. And then we connected again in Chicago, and I remember somehow I started looking at what the flights were that night that I could get to come here. And before I changed my mind, I went home. I asked my boss if I could have a couple days off, and I booked an airplane. Wow.
Nice.
It's just incredible. So I would really, really like to hear from you guys. So for Ruben, it's his first time in Asia. Mm-hmm. He's been to parts of Africa before and other parts in the world. For Jacqueline, she has, went to China when she was around 16.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her first time back in Asia.
This is my first time back in Asia since then.
I'd love to get your guys' take on just sort of in general, how you're feeling, what it felt like just being here for the first time, and yeah, just thoughts and experiences, and I'm sure you have a lot to share. We could start with you, Jacqueline.
Sure. I think the one thing that is so, amazing to see is the sheer amount of people here. Living in New York City, people. But like they're the culture thrives like from the people. And on top of that, like writing rickshaw is the most fascinating experience you'll ever have. Slightly scary, but it is an experience for sure.
Great. And Ruben?
I have to agree, riding in an auto rickshaw on the streets of Mumbai will be a memory that I always take with me. I don't think anything could have fully prepared me for the cultural experience. When I was leaving Raleigh, North Carolina last week, you know, I was thinking, wow, this is really happening. What I said yes to a couple months ago is happening right now. Does it still seem like a good idea? Well, it didn't really matter. I was pretty much all in at that point in time. I would be lying to say that going halfway around the world to one of the biggest cities on the planet to meet this guy who I've known for 3 days, who says he's going to pick me up at the airport and everything will be fine, still sounded like a good idea. What I've learned is amazing things happen when you say yes to opportunities, and even if you're a little bit scared, if you go, you learn things, and you meet people, and you find out new things, and you get to learn what an auto rickshaw is, and you get to get out of the way of cows and people and a whole lot of other things.
And dance at festivals.
Right. How can we forget about dancing like that, in the streets
that part
all
was
night
amazing.
Long?
At
right.
Midnight, we just stopped, got out the car, joined this festival, and literally danced all night. And it was one of the most connective experiences that I had thus far.
So speaking of connective experiences, we are at the national conference for TISA, and you guys have met, or you've seen 100 or so people who stammer here, Indian people, and you've had conversations with them over the past few days, interacted with them, all that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts? It's going to open it up for you guys. Any thoughts? I mean, you have a lot of thoughts.
If I had to sum it up into two sentences, what I would say is there are some things that are different, and we are all the same. There are the same struggles, fears, worries, difficulties, challenges, and ways of overcoming those challenges and supporting each other and playing music, singing songs, dancing in the streets that there are everywhere I've been in the world. The people may look a little different, the language may be different, the shades of color may be different, the costumes we wear are a little different, and everything is the same.
Yeah. Well, one thing I've seen, you know, seeing people now stutter in French and Hebrew and Hindi. Something that that's really taught me, literally, is that stuttering is one language.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. So when someone is stuttering, I can connect with how they're feeling or what they've experienced, whether we speak the same language or not. And I really think that it's great that there's something that can bring people around the world to get together.
Yeah, I really think that that is an amazing point. If I could go back in time 10 years, maybe 12 years, I would have described being a person who stutters as an isolating, restrictive experience. Now it takes me around the world to meet hundreds of people.
Right.
It's pretty neat how that goes.
Right. So, like, there's this one thing that brought me that I held so much shame for has now taken me to these amazing places and meeting these amazing people. And like, and the great part is that the more people that I meet, the more stories that empowers me. And so, you know, this one thing that brought me shame is now the thing that brings me confidence.
That's really powerful. I think it's so powerful that you said that, like, so stuttering is its own language.
It's one.
It's language. One language, right. So, yeah.
I have to say, that is not my personal quote. Aiton Boss Brahm is real. Had it. And the funny thing is, he literally said it flippant. And I saw such depth. And I said, "You're right."
Yeah.
Stuttering is literally the same thing around the world.
Yeah.
And you know, how many people have that?
Yeah. I'd actually like said one thing on stage at the NSA conference at the closing of the 20 somethings, like, you know, I had an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
So I said one thing about how I think that stuttering can achieve world peace.
Mm.
Cause you get a room full of stutterers together from different nationalities, different cultures, different religions or whatever, and just have them talk. and they will understand each other because of this one language,
mm-hmm.
At a very deep level, mm-hmm. at a below the iceberg level.
Ooh, a below the iceberg.
I know.
Level. That's a great thought, Dream.
That's so many like metaphors in one too. Below the iceberg,
yeah.
Stuttering iceberg, the actual iceberg, yeah. All icebergs.
I'm gonna try to put that into my next Toastmasters speech somehow. A below the iceberg understanding.
Speaking of Toastmasters, Ruben actually did a Toastmasters speech at this national conference,
yes.
And I evaluated him on his, it doesn't matter what the level is, but yeah, it was awesome, and it was a motivational speech, and he made these two really great points, which you could kind of talk about, because I think it sort of sums up his personal learnings about stuttering, and like, how to sort of deal with it, and all that kind of stuff, and he can't expand on it, because I'm sort of like, talking on his behalf now. But two points he made, which I thought were great. The first point was, fluency is not the goal. Should never be the goal. And on that point, we had conversations before in Mumbai as well about asking yourself, what is the intention of what you're doing? If the intention is fluency, maybe you got to rethink it, and he will expand. And the second point is, do. Doing is... So just do, like the doing is you can have a lot of what doing is, but doing is half the battle. Doing is growth. Doing is learning, and you gotta just have experiential moments rather than reading a book or listening to a podcast.
Yeah. That's
now we're connecting because we're actually like people are like, oh, you're in my ears. Now.
Mind is blown.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. It's great to read things. It's great to hear things. It's great to receive information, receive knowledge. And how we learn something new is absolutely by experience, by doing it. And I'll go even one step farther, by failing at it. The first time, maybe the second time, maybe the third time. That is how we grow to a new level. Wherever we are, no matter what, whether we're at level 1, level 100, level 1,000, I believe what I just said is always true.
I agree.
And as soon as I'm comfortable doing whatever it is I'm doing, and I do this analogy with a little juggling act I do where I start juggling easy, safe things like bean bags, and then I go to bowling pins, which are a little harder, and then I juggle knives. And I'm actually working on the chainsaw at home right now because legitimately I talk about this pushing my comfort zone, challenging my fear thing. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, Ruben, I guess you got to get a chainsaw now. I'm slowly, slowly, carefully, incrementally working on that because the consequences of failure are a little more intense. Mm. So you need to be careful, right? The other idea I talk about anytime anybody lets me stand up and talk about stuttering is this idea that fluency for fluency's sake alone is not a goal that has any value that lasts. Effective, efficient, enjoyable communication is what my real goal is now, to be able to stand up like I did in front of a room of 100 people at the national conference here, and on top of it, I felt like I was struggling with something of a language barrier between English and Hindi. So I asked for a translator. Let me tell you, speaking with a translator, that is hard. You can only say one sentence, and then you have to stop, and then they translate, and then you have to remember the next thing that you were trying to say. So I've learned through challenging myself at work professionally, through Toastmasters, through National Stuttering Association, and now this week through TESA, reinforcing that goal that confidence to stand and speak effectively is not based on fluency.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, it seems so simple now, but it really is a deep paradox that I think a lot of people don't understand yet.
I think it's the hardest concept to grasp, you know, especially when we've been telling ourselves for so long that this is wrong, this is right. And you're kind of flipping that completely.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the hardest thing to change is the way you think. And so it's really something that takes continual work. And I'm still in the process. But I definitely feel much more comfortable than when I avoid speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept takes deep uprooting.
Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of doing, I think, to reinforce it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was part of why I felt like I wanted to, I needed to keep traveling, to keep challenging that message in my own mind, keep making sure that what I think is true and that I'm not just surrounding myself with the people who I know agree with me and support what I want to believe anyway.
Yeah.
That's like me. I feel like everything Ruben says, I 100% agree with.
Well, right. But that's why I don't just hang out with you.
Exactly. And I think Ruben and Jacqueline are proof that that doing really, like, what do you want to say, impacts you a lot. Like, they're here, and they did travel halfway around the world to be here, so that they are really proof that, you know, you can grow a lot, learn a lot through doing. And even, like, I think that this step is a large step, and I think in this sort of journey that we're on, small steps are sort of more, like, are the sort of way to go. Of course, if you can make a large step, and talk to like 1,000 people, and that might be something, but just by saying that, I think it sort of incites a lot of fear. So if you start small and do small steps in that doing process, that's, yeah.
One of my mentors from Toastmasters gave me a piece of advice that I was worried I'd taken it too far this time. What she told me is, when you have an opportunity, say yes.
Yes.
Even if you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the day before Mumbai, I was thinking, was this a good idea? But saying yes, even when you're not sure how it's going to go.
So Ruben actually builds like some like propulsion or something for helicopters.
I work on control systems for helicopters as my day job.
But he said yes to that job because he knew what he was doing.
Absolutely.
But on that note, yes, you have to say yes. And you guys are here because you said yes to something crazy. I think the message that you guys shared before about the whole like stuttering is one language, and it just, you know, I think that's a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
And I think it'll help a lot of people look past differences in people and be like, hey, maybe that person's a stutterer, or you know, has been working on his stuttering for a very long time, and that in itself will sort of arise like a, oh, like you're one of us.
Yeah.
The coolest thing here has just been people honestly connecting with each other. I mean, there's no better group of friends that I can think of. Nothing else I do in life could I have met some guy for 3 days and been like, yeah, I'll come to India to come hang out. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
There's just a connection that I feel like we almost instantly form with other people who stutter all around the world.
Completely agree.
Absolutely.
Here's the question that we need to ask tonight as we're in Kandala, India, getting ready to wrap up TISA conference and go back to the other sides of Earth and continue doing stuff. What next?
Agreed. When you say that question, what next? What specifically, like, in what area of life or society or what are you talking about when you say what next?
I mean, really, in all areas, what, and this is not a question I expect an answer to now, but, you know, I've got 24 hours on airplanes to think about it.
That's all you need, 24 hours.
Right. Well, sometimes things happen. What's that next step for Ruben in North Carolina? What's that next step for Jacqueline in New York City? What's that next step for Ruve in Mumbai? What's the next step for anybody who's listening to this right now, wherever they are?
Right. Well, I mean, with me, I definitely know that traveling all these places and meeting all of these people, I'm really interested in. There's an estimated 70 million stutterers worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think if we can form this community in London, in Africa, in Australia, in the States, if we can really unite these people, we can make a vast difference with how stuttering is seen and how people who stutter are treated, how things happen in the workforce and so on. So, I mean, the goal is always to continue my personal development, But I'm really interested in seeing how far we can take this.
I think there's a message about stuttering that is real and important that still is not out there very much. And so much of what I see and hear is basically the same question of what tools and techniques can I use to stop stuttering? That is the universal question I get everywhere. Mm-hmm. And my answer is, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because it's not that at all.
Even over here as well, like we had this panel of people who were being interviewed, like these experienced guys who were in higher positions, and what one of the guys like even said, look, if there were two candidates who have the same credentials and everything, and one candidate stammers, I would not hire that candidate. Mm. And that just really got to me. And that person was someone who stammered himself. So I think there is a lot of education that we have to do, a lot of awareness. And that's why we're here. That's why you guys, I honestly feel you guys being here has added so much, knowledge and depth to this conference that would not have been there. And I'm so glad that, you know, so you guys being here has changed things.
I think you give us far too much credit.
In my mind, really. I mean, this is really my thought process. Like I saw Ruben the other day, yesterday night, he was so sitting down with someone and he was sharing his thoughts and says to someone, Amit Kushwa, I'll say his name.
Okay.
He was writing down what Ruben was saying in Hindi and he plans to publish that on the TISA blog.
Oh, that's great.
And that will take learnings from North Carolina and, you know, like some great speech therapists, NSA conferences, friends, and whatever else Ruben has done in his personal journey into the Indian mind now. And that's huge. I'm not even as you were saying before, Jacqueline, 70 million people about stutter in the world, 14 million of them are in India. Another 2 million are in Pakistan, another 1 million is in Bangladesh, and I don't know, a bunch are in Sri Lanka as well. So this whole Indian subcontinent has 17 million people who stutter.
And if you wrap in China, you've pretty much covered 80%.
Agreed. China is a tough cookie to crack though, because China blocks a lot of things, and they don't speak English. Well, they speak English, but then, you know, so this whole thing we do with stutter, so Stutter Talk and everything else on Facebook, it doesn't even get to China. So China is a whole ballgame in itself, which we will attack.
We have to fly there.
I'm not quite ready to sign up for my next trip yet.
I've been to China. It's an interesting place.
They do have a Chinese Stuttering Association, though, CSA. I don't know much about it. You can look it up online if anybody is in China listening to this or whatever.
How?
They can. No. There's still this website is not blocked though.
Okay.
So it's just Facebook and other things, Twitter and stuff. But anyway, back to subjects.
So easy there.
I think we were talking about stuttering connecting the world, as you were talking about.
Yeah. I feel like there is a movement that. No, it's okay. I feel like there is a movement that could really start and could propel a lot of change, and it's just all about having the mindset of understanding that we are people who stutter and that is okay. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy concept, but it's a It's a meaningful one.
There's this great ad that just came out that some of you guys may have seen. That's sort of like it's sort of the essence of what Jacqueline was talking about. It's a Nescafe ad called "It's All." What is it? It's or let's get it. What is it? Okay, so basically, it's a Nescafe ad of a comedian who's stammering. You can probably go to any stammering group on Facebook or someone's profile who stammers and see that. That by itself has done so much for stammering awareness in India. I'm actually comparing that to the King's Speech in the West. It's done that much for stammering awareness in India. In 1 month, they had 5 million views on YouTube, and it's just growing exponentially.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So if you guys haven't watched it yet, watch that ad. If you're someone who stammers, it's going to inspire you. It's in Hindi, by the way, but there's some cool subtitles and cool jokes.
I watched it for the first time when I got to Mumbai, and I thought it was outstanding. Maybe we'll be able to put a link to it on the Stutter Talk episode.
So, stuttering connects the world.
Yes,
we're connecting the world.
We're there.
We have unquestionably. You're coming here from Paris and Jerusalem. Now we're in India. I think we have unrefutable evidence now.
It does.
Connects the world.
Correct.
Correct.
And one more thing we talked about is don't chase fluency. So now, if you're chasing fluency, you're starting to disconnect the world. So you got to keep stuttering.
Well, you have to keep communicating.
Correct. Correct. Communicating joyfully, communicating as a challenge. So pushing yourself, doing it.
Yeah. I've been struggling with titles for Stutter Talk episodes at this conference. I think this one needs to be called "Communicating Joyfully."
I love that. That's
what I'm going to leave here with when I go back to Mumbai tomorrow and go back to the States.
Nice. I'm definitely leaving with a oneness. I've never felt more connected, like, to myself as a person and to other people. And, looking at some, I am getting very spiritual now.
But, we're kind of in a spiritual place.
We are.
The birthplace of yoga.
Gandhi's birthday was like the other day. But like there really is something to seeing yourself in other people, and it brings about humanity and compassion and understanding. And I think that there's really no better way to experience yourself than to experience yourself through other people. And I've learned a lot about myself from these people, and so I am just blessed and happy.
That's beautiful. I think let's on that note, let's end this episode of Stutter Talk. Thank you guys for listening so much, and we are signing off here from Khandala, India. And if any of you guys get a chance, here's my sales pitch again. You guys should come to the next TISA National Conference, which will happen next year around the same time. Location not finalized yet. But as you have heard from Ruben and Jacqueline, it's a pretty awesome time. And you guys will get to experience all the adventure and craziness and rickshaw rides and all the other things that makes India just what it is. So come join us next year, and thank you guys for listening.
Thank you guys for listening.
And thank you guys for being here. And when I say here, I mean in this country.
thanks so much for inviting us to come, Dhruv. It's been a wild ride.
You don't ever have to thank me to travel. I'm traveling.
So we'll see you guys next year, right?
We'll see.
Hopefully.
All right. Good night and good luck.
Peace.